Good morning and welcome to Forest Fires. My name is John Clark. In today's episode, we're going to briefly talk about enablers. But not just any enabler, the toxic enabler. A type of enabler that actually seeks to harm you. Or the type that is so self-absorbed, so very selfish, that your well-being is unimportant to them. Or at the very least, comes in a distant second. Perhaps you've heard of a mental health diagnosis called Munchausen syndrome. With this condition, a person will pretend to have, or in some cases, even actually cause themselves injury or sickness. Another similar condition is called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's a mental illness wherein a parent or a caretaker of a child either makes up symptoms or causes real symptoms to exist to make it look as though a child is sick or sicker than they may be. In some cases, this type of behavior has actually led to the death of a child. When we see evidence of these disorders, particularly Munchausen syndrome by proxy, we're offended and we're angry. Doing this to a child, well, it goes against our inherent notions of right and wrong, and against our natural protective instincts. Some research has suggested that Munchausen by proxy, it may arise from a need for attention, or a need for sympathy, or perhaps even from a desire to be needed. Any parent will tell you that when your child is sick, your caring and protective instincts, they kick into high gear. While most of us are capable of understanding that even after a sickness has passed, our children still need us. But for some people, and in extreme cases, the need to be needed, it can override a person's rational and healthy behaviors. While it would be a significant leap, and probably an inappropriate one, to suggest that enablers of our destructive and addictive behaviors suffer from some form of Munchausen by proxy, we have to acknowledge that there are some similarities that exist. Some of the people that enable us to keep drinking and using despite our harmful consequences, they do so because they need us to stay sick so that they can continue to care for us. Much like with Munchausen by proxy, these supposed caregivers, they put their need to be needed above our health, above our well-being, and in some cases, even above our life. The danger with this is multifaceted, in that not only is it harmful to our health and well-being, but that while we're in the throes of our active addiction, we're unlikely to recognize these toxic behaviors. Our own addictive behaviors can literally blind us to a person's true motives and intentions. Moreover, should other people in our life try and make us aware of these dangerous individuals or their twisted behaviors, we may push back, distancing ourselves from those that have our best interests at heart, and instead embracing those that are willing to let us remain sick. If you've ever dealt with a toxic enabler, chances are you already know that you've done so. And most likely, you know what to look for. But in case you don't, or in case you have some questions, the following is a list of behaviors and actions that may alert you to the reality that someone in your life could be a toxic enabler. Now understand, this isn't an all-inclusive list, but just a guide. Number one, these people defend your bad actions or behaviors to other people, but in private or in moments of anger or stress, they remind you of those bad actions, and then likewise remind you that they were the ones that defended you or even lied for you. Number two, they tell you that they want what's best for you or for you to be happy. But when you actually start getting healthy or happy, They remind you of how much fun you used to be when you were using or drinking, or how much you've changed. Number three, they say that they want you to have happy and healthy relationships with other people. But should those relationships in any way interfere with the one that they have with you, they minimize it, criticize it, or even, in some cases, try and sabotage it. Number four, they help you to rebuild or to sustain certain relationships with family members or other important people. But in moments of anger or when they believe that they have been slighted, they vilify you to those same family members or important relationships that they help you to build. Number five, when you try and talk to them about any of their behaviors, it always becomes a fight. They minimize what you have to say or make less of your concerns. Or they blame you for how they behaved or how they reacted. Number six, they offer to take on more and more of your daily responsibilities. But when they become angry or they feel you pushing away, they use guilt and passive aggression to remind you of all that they've ever done for you. Number seven, they willingly give you financial support, even without you having to ask. But then, in moments of anger or when they feel that they are losing their grip on you, they hold their financial help over your head or threaten to remove it altogether. Number eight, they tell other people how much that they've done for you, but they never tell them any of their own bad behaviors, and they never take on the role of responsibility. They take on the role of a victim should you ever challenge their status in your relationship. What we must come to understand and realize is that the toxic enabler, they are just as sick as the person in active addiction. But their sickness is far harder to diagnose and almost impossible to treat, unless, of course, they can get honest with themselves. Guilt, shame, and passive aggression, these are all tried and true weapons of the toxic enabler, and they are often quite skilled in their use. In recovery circles, we often think of enablers as good-intentioned family members and friends that have simply allowed themselves to care too much. Those loving and caring people in our lives that don't know how to set healthy boundaries. And yes, these people are indeed enablers, and they can be dangerous in their own way. But they lack almost any resemblance to the toxic enabler. The toxic enabler is a different breed altogether. As mentioned earlier, many enablers' behaviors are based in love, but a toxic enabler's behaviors are based in selfishness and in self-serving motives. A toxic enabler would rather see you die than to see you live and thrive without them. And at least in my opinion, that in and of itself is a type of sickness for which there may be no cure. If you've survived a toxic enabler, if you've finally been able to break free from their stranglehold on you, consider yourself blessed, and consider yourself very lucky, because countless others have fallen victim to their twisted methods, and still others continue to suffer with them today. Toxic enablers don't predominate one gender or another. They don't predominate one socioeconomic class or another, one race or another, or one sexual orientation or another. They don't have a look, and they aren't easily recognized. And because of this, it makes them exceptionally dangerous. If you or someone that you know is dealing with a toxic enabler, please know that there's help to be had, if you're honest enough and brave enough to actually seek it. Thank you for tuning in to Forest Fires. Thank you for continuing to support me and the message of the Forest Fires podcast. Continue to be a light in the darkness for those that still struggle with this horrible disease. Always remember that whether you want to admit it or not, you're a leader. And someone, somewhere, they're following your lead. The question that you have to ask is, where are you leading them? Always remember that your recovery may be the only one that someone else gets to see. So you have to ask yourself the simple yet harsh question, what does your recovery look like? Is it something that someone else would want? Or is it something that someone else would run from? Continue to work on your own personal recovery program. Continue to put in the effort, because I assure you, it's worth it in the end. As always, stay reachable, stay teachable, and stay humble. Thank you.